Good afternoon, and now that we know one another, every one of us, I won't introduce myself again, and I'll go straight to the point. My topic is like a closing one, because I'm just going to really look at the problems. We have all had the good things. The problems of energy. And thanks to my colleague here, he gave a lot of my slides. So as a closing one, I decided to talk about air pollution, but obviously energy has other kinds of pollution. But I think the major one is this one concerning air pollution. And hopefully, we all know what air pollution is. All these levels of what the air contain. Once the concentrations are beyond a certain level, then that's when we talk about pollution. So the air will always have some carbon monoxide. You always have a small level of nitrous oxide. And in some places where we talk about clean air, that is a place where the air is fresh. We have one place in Kenya, Mount Kenya. Towards the top is where we have even a global monitoring for the whole world on a clean air station. So the air will be polluted when concentrations are beyond a certain level. In terms of energy, mostly, as my colleague has said, different types of energy, I would say the fossil fuels and the biomass fuels are the big problem. And that's why I thought of having this, although we didn't do our presentations together, he did his independent, mine independent. So you'll find some terms are the same others. Me, I have green energy. I don't know why they don't have green energy. And this green energy is slightly different from renewable energy, because all renewable energies are not necessarily green. Now, lastly, I have the types of power that I could get a hold of. Perhaps there are others, but these are the major ones: solar, wind, hydro, geothermal, biomass, and biofuels. Some of them, the percentage of usage is much lower than others. For example, biofuels, compared to even solar or even wind, biofuels in Africa are much lower in terms of usage. Wind is catching up. Solar, it's us who are refusing because it's there every day. And also the wind is there. Hydro, that's where we put a lot of our effort before. But we have issues now on some of the dams are silting because of poor agricultural practices. That becomes another headache. I think I also said all the photographs I use are mine. Yes. So if you need to ask me where, I'll give you a GPS location. What are the causes of this air pollution? Why is energy important? Energy production important? He's dealt with most of this. And coming from a chemistry background and an environmental aspect, that being part of what I've spent all my life on, then energy in transport and domestic use, those are real issues in pollution. And all these issues on pollution, most of it was not a big issue in the 1950s. Before 1950s, the Industrial Revolution, everybody was comfortable. And then people started using these resources on high scale, Industrial Revolution. And then all these issues have come about. I have given sources of some of this, like this particular source. In terms of SDGs and air pollution, those are the ones I identified. Number one, number three, number seven, number nine, and 11. If I've left one, I don't know, we should add it. Just consider it. But the issue of air pollution is a critical global problem. And quickly, I'll just highlight it. 1 in 9 deaths worldwide is linked to air pollution. 18,000 persons die every day due to air pollution. And 92% of the world population lives in locations where air quality is an issue. Some of the time, you could be limping, you could be having a limp and thinking the problem is somewhere else, but it could even be air pollution. So it's a possibility. So sometimes it's not easy to identify the cause of our of ailments. Well, as it can be linked, obviously, we know the main issues that really cause the main issues: food, air, and water. And I wish the world would take care of those, because the hospitals might go empty. Now, the last one, or the second last one, energy efficiency. If you take care of that, means that you produce less energy for everybody, and therefore the pollution aspect reduces. And my colleague here really dealt with this in terms of having building standards and retrofits that will reduce the energy consumption, therefore reduce demand. Improvements in energy efficiency in transport, that is very critical, because may I say that in Kenya, the highest pollution is as a result of transport, second-hand cars from Japan and Europe, those ones that do not pass the emission standards, are shipped to the third world, where they continue to operate and unfortunately produce pollutants. Transport is responsible of 28% of total energy consumption, and that was in 2018. I couldn't get a more recent one. Perhaps he may have a more recent figure. And 90% of the transport energy is due to fossil fuels. The Hybrid is coming up, and secondly, the electric car. But unfortunately, and that is why I think the hybrid has a lot of issues. Number one, we must look at the materials that have been used to produce. Yes, all this before we say we've done it. And secondly, the second-hand hybrids actually make sure that they don't switch to the battery more often. So you have a hybrid, but your fuel consumption is as good as somebody who doesn't have a hybrid. So these are issues. If you go to many of these countries in third world, the streets are full of people where these cars are moving. And therefore, they are emitting at the street level. And these people are doing their business there. So they are drinking the pollutants constantly as these people do their business. The shops, these places are hot, so the shops are open. I don't want to say where I've been. And we all know the tropics, isn't it? So these are issues. These emissions are at street level. We have people working on the streets. So these people are feeding directly onto the pollutants every day. And business closes at late hours. Starts very early in the morning. Others are street families within those streets. Transport emissions can be reduced. We have electric vehicles here, two-wheelers. We already know, and I will specify this, that the two-wheelers using diesel were banned in India, but have found their way to Africa. And we all know they were the major polluters in India. So we need a global solution to some of this. CO2, my colleague also dealt quite a lot on it. And unfortunately, CO2 is taken as a mark of pollution because in terms of industrialization, the more CO2 a country produces, the more industrialized it is, because the more fossil fuel that it burns. So in terms of World Bank data, WHO data, CO2 is quite important. The amount of CO2, 400 ppm, is what was normal, around that much, about 400. Obviously, we do record such figures in rare places. But because of the industrial revolution, that has gone up quite a lot of places. If you took a meter outside here, I would bet that you can't get probably that figure. And that has continued to grow. However, during the corona time, 2020, there was a drop, but then it's going up again. It is the primary driver of global climate change. And we all know why. Just a little bit of chemistry. Carbon dioxide, a carbon here, oxygen here, oxygen here, it is able to vibrate. So it captures the energy by increasing the vibration. It is a very good global warming gas, greenhouse gas. But many of us never talk about water being a greenhouse gas, but we all know it is, all right? But water is never an issue. So, because without water, we wouldn't have life on planet Earth. We are aware, even without carbon dioxide, we wouldn't have life on Earth because of this reaction that is also very important for our existence. This being a hydrocarbon reacting with oxygen to give us carbon dioxide, water, and energy. That is the energy that we all live on. We have other global greenhouse gases. Methane is one of them. And nitrous oxide, fluorinated hydrocarbons. And in your own time, you go find out what is the politics about all this. Some countries refuse to sign conventions because they know if they say they are going to reduce their CO2, the alternatives are more expensive. All right? This issue of protection, but nobody is looking at where will we be 20 years to come. There's global politics on energy and emissions is for, and hopefully we get negotiators who are able to fight the politics. This shows CO2 by region. So starting from 1950, around here, going to 2020, we can see from 6 billion tons per year rising to 34. That is five times, actually nearly six times, within a very short span. It would be nice to see who to blame for this, isn't it? Who is doing what? And
but it's not fair. You should go to every people. It's like every people consume CO2. We have so many people in China, so we emit a lot of carbon dioxide.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Per person. So we do not compare.
Yes. Good.
It's not just about the population, it's about where are the fabrics, where are the industry? Because European countries have moved the industry to Asia. So the productions are there. So then we have more emissions there. So the European countries, European companies are doing the things in Asia, are doing things in Africa, are doing in Latin America. So it is not about population. Anybody needs to feel like we are the one that are making the things. The countries that are growing and the countries, the European countries or have moved also the companies there. So the pollution is there. In this moment.
I would like us to get into this discussion, but before we do, please let me continue. The reason being, I know it's very hot. Please go and look at the per capita, which I would ensure, all right? We will get there, all right? But these are the figures, this is the source. All right?
Yes.
I remember it was in 1998 that I attended in one of these groups that we were talking about Kyoto Protocol. And the delegation from India actually came out and said they are not signing on all this. All right? Please let us continue. We will get into the very heated discussion later. I do agree with all this, isn't it? And that is why I give you the source of data. So we will, it will get hot, eh? But in the evening, I was told there's a party. So this is it. You see, I don't need to go to the figures, but you can see Asia, excluding China and India, Africa, North America, excluding USA, all right? But you can also see, that's right, many manufacturing firms have gone to India, isn't it? To India, yes, and to China, to Asia, all right? All these dynamics, who is supposed to be blamed, all right? Because the whole issue is not just blame, but the whole issue is we have pollution. And that is the bottom line. Before I touch on raw nerves, how a country produces electricity has great impact on CO2 emissions. Some people are completely anti-nuclear, all right? Some people are completely anti-renewable. But all this, let us think about the whole world in terms of energy need and pollution. And the reason being, remember back here, this, to me, this is very critical. How many people die every day? So, ambient air quality. When all is said and done, what are you breathing? Are you wearing a mask because of corona, or is it because of air pollution? Isn't it? Yeah, those are the basic questions. What are you breathing? All right. In Africa, when we have been forced to wear masks, people are saying, I challenge you to have a cup of tea with your mask. All right? I challenge you. So there's the WHO guidelines, I think. I just took this so that it becomes like a reference. And I'm talking about the one that came out in 2022. This is the most recent. And air pollution is a major health crisis. And one of the root causes is energy. This is a world issue. In terms of the world, total 6.5 million deaths due to poor air quality per year. The fourth largest threat to mankind. There is smoking, it's your choice. Dietary risk, some people have known. High blood pressure, probably there's nothing you can do. But air, what can you do? Air quality, ambient, what do you do? I don't know. We have to agree to sort it out. One of the things is measurements, and I will move up and down. Here we were taking measurements at the airport. Here, this is land side with meters. Here you see this is the air side here. You can see the plane taking off. So we are on one side of the runway with some meters. You can see the meters at the end taking measurements. Here, residents had complained about smells. They are not happy with the air. During the night, they are coughing. So somebody sought us out. You can see these are residential flats. What is making us the air not become good? People who are here on the last, was it the last summer school? We went and had barbecue in the forest. But you see these guys, there's some smoke. I decided to use this photograph instead of one from Africa. This is a factory in Kenya, and that's another factory. All bellowing smoke, but the end result is, what are we taking? What is getting into our body? This is another factory, a cement. I see this one is bellowing, all right? You can see here, as this guy is walking, most of the things are white, even the trees, that shows a lot of dust, all right? Similarly here, you can see on this photograph here, there's a lot of emissions from that factory, what we call fugitive emissions, emissions that you don't know are coming from where. But remember, all these places, people are living. So they are being exposed constantly. Particulate matter is a big, big issue in developing countries. There's another factory. Because of smells, they have put a filter here. So this is what we are going to see. And to see, is it effective? It's a chemical factory. So if they don't have anything here, what comes out here are smells. And then you're walking on the street, you don't know what you're smelling. This is industrial area. Remember, everything is hitting us. This is a steam boiler. These are the burners. And I think on this one, we have another steam boiler. But before the gas became expensive, many people are now shifting from diesel to gas because gas produces less particulate matter. But you need these industries because without these industries, there is no development. There will be no materials. This is a stack. At the top, that's where everything comes out. Although we have interest with what comes on top, we must be able to find out how much are we breathing at the end of the day from top here. So we do what is called dispersion modeling. You have to model what comes out here. How far does it go and at what concentration on the ground? Some time back, there was the story that make it taller and taller so that it disperses more. But that does that diluting it does not necessarily mean you have eliminated. And when you have more than this in the same place, like in Nairobi, we don't have a difference between industrial area and living area. So you get 10 stacks, 10 estates where people live. Really, those people must complain. These industries work 24 hours. Unfortunately, something like this was supposed to be burning refuse from a hospital. Is it right? And this is the chimney. Does it burn enough? Here, the last diagram is a backup power generator. When the power goes, it produces the power, all right? But this one may be pointing at somebody else's home, isn't it? So when there is no power, you start smelling something. I remember once I was called that somebody, whenever she got into her flat, she was getting a headache and was blaming that the people in the other flat were always smoking. When I looked at the data, the level of CO in her house was very high, but really opposite, there was a very silent generator. And that flat did not have power. So she was feeding directly carbon monoxide. So these are serious, serious issues. Once again, we had a snapshot on this. And our biggest problem in the developing countries is heat and cooking. You need to cook, but the only thing you can cook with is either wood. Charcoal is not readily available, so it's wood. And having clean fuels for cooking is so important because it will reduce the exposure levels of the people in the kitchens. When you burn wood, you get a whole range of things, compounds. And in one of my publications, which I've given at the end, I was looking at even carcinogens, polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, and even benzenoids will be there. And I think at this point, may I say that since removing lead from petrol, the amount of benzenoids on the street as a result of petrol has increased from publications. So that is something else to look out for. So this is Kenya. We have already done the oil, the hydropower, the wind, the solar. And you can see that big percentage is other renewables, including bioenergy. This, it means that some people will cook with crop waste and even animal dung. And obviously, the VOCs, what comes out of there, means that we have a problem. But there's not Africa alone, isn't it? I've seen even publications from China, from India on the same. You can actually go and get that. That means that we are getting cancer and other non-communicable diseases. And people don't want to accept, but I said the three are very important. The food, the water, and the air. And people's governments tend rather to consider air the least important because they can't see it. Water, yes, you can taste it. Food, you can say a lot on food, and my colleagues have said, but now The other issue is the air. And nobody wants to talk about the air unless we bring it up. Yes, this is now the biomass fuel, as I've been trying to say, for heating and cooking. Also, we have industrial boilers doing it. The levels of PM is a big issue. PM, particulate matter. And the residue from fecal matter is also being considered in, I think, one of my colleagues' research to make briquettes for cooking. It's one of the things. And biomass contribution to Kenya's final energy demand is 70% and provides more than 90% of rural household energy needs. I didn't check the population in terms of the people who live in the towns vis-a-vis the people in the rural. But the people in the rural areas using biomass fuels is the higher percent, over 90%. So it is important and really for us to move ahead in terms of developing economies. Here you do, in Finland, obviously I see a lot of wood, but I think you use it for other things. You extract fuels in different things rather than for it to become a pollutant. I'm sure a good percentage of you may not have seen this. What is inside is fire. All right? It's hot. And it's made of ceramics so that it can contain the fire for a longer period. The VOCs, volatile organic compounds, are the smells. And these VOCs, together with particulate matter, react to give you things like ground level ozone. Ground level ozone is a pollutant because it has high oxidation properties. You don't want to be breathing in ozone. Up there, it's useful, but we don't want it down here.
What is this made of? Is kind of charcoal, or is this one the picture? What is this made of?
You ask what is inside.
Inside.
We put in charcoal, and then what you see is fire.
Yeah.
Now that charcoal, if I think when you read in one of my publications, the volatiles or what you get out of it really depend on the kind of tree that you put there. That's why in some communities, they use charcoal for incense. And I think also in India.
Yeah, I have seen it. That's why I asked.
Yes. But he is looking at ways of using the solid material from human fecal matter to make briquettes that can be used. Yeah, in terms of this energy recycling. These figures are simple to see, but complicated. This is now questioning, when can I see that my air is polluted? And to be neutral, I am using the WHO guideline levels, air quality. So before, WHO did not have PM2.5. They have now introduced it, and PM2.5 is critical. PM10, that is particle size less than 10 micron. The smaller the particle size, the more easily it will go in. It will not be filtered. And when it's so small, less than one micron, it will just go inside the lungs. The other bit to remember is the smaller the particle size, the higher the surface area. So the higher the reactivity. So this one that is so small goes straight into your lungs, straight into your bloodstream, and starts delivering the pollutants there. One of the reasons why the diesel is being phased out in Europe is because the fossil fuels produce very small particles. You don't see them. These are things you don't see. But the health effects are so much. They are dreadful. And I don't know if your mask can be able to filter this. So it is still very dangerous. So these figures, then that's ozone. We have a peak value. Nitrous oxide is formed on any surface that is hot because nitrogen and oxygen will react on any hot surface. So if you measure the nitrogen oxides in your kitchen, they will always be there. But it reacts in sunlight together with now particles, PM, to give you now things like ozone. Sulfur dioxide, if you have sulfur in your fuel, then you are going to have sulfur oxides. CO is a very serious issue. And in my country, because of using biomass fuels in kitchens, and sometimes it's cold, people leave that container here, there, in their bedroom, and people have died. So CO is a silent killer. The reason why I put it in red is if the concentration is high, you will not get to the 24 hours. You'll be dead. But also, when you read about air quality standards, remember to double check the units. All right? The units are critical because this is in milligrams per meter cubed, and we really don't normalize the volumes for ambient, because that's the air you are taking in terms of your lung capacity. There has been a lot of debate on this. But this is in ppm. they are not transferable. So 4 ppm is not 4 milligrams per meter cubes. Just remember that. There is an equation. You can Google it, where you take care of 22.4, isn't it? Have you ever heard of that figure? 22.4 liters, right? The molecular mass, all right? You Google it, you get it. This is the old figures from WHO, and this is now the new guideline. Sulfur dioxide, except where you have diesel. This one's hydrogen sulfide. Really smells quite a lot. So this is where you get most complaints and the VOCs. That's where you get people complaining that a place is smelling. But that does not mean that those are the only pollutants there. These are now issues I decided to put in, issues about the health aspects for each one of them. But I just wanted this for completeness, because you can go have a look. The sulfur dioxide in terms of, once again, what it does in terms of your health, but it's also on acid rain. Carbon monoxide, its issues. If you ever go to a car park, an underground car park, and by the time you're coming out, you want a paracetamol, you have CO poisoning. And that's in terms of competing for hemoglobin. Nitrous oxides, carbon dioxide is not really a pollutant. Many places it hasn't, it's not considered. But the reason why it's important, we've already discussed, and I have this photo here because if you read, it is actually 500 milligrams. Remember the old figure was 400. And this is Kenya. All right? Out of places that are more industrialized. And we saw Kenya produces very little CO2. The whole of Africa. We have hydrocarbons, and this is also a serious issue because I think and I believe that hydrocarbons are one of the causes of some of these ailments for our people, like the cancer that everybody knows somebody suffering from these non-communicable diseases. And we can actually be able to get benzoylpyrene in particulate from combustion of biomass. The concern for PM is so high. The concern for PM. We tend to, any place you find high PM, then that place is polluted. It is a direct correlation for PM. And things like lung cancer will be attributed to such things. When you are sampling now on those chimneys, those stacks, this is a highly specialized job because you must be do isokinetic sampling. That means that when the flow rate changes, your sampling rate also should be adjusted, and we use the EPA method 5 sampling train. You can actually go and check it up. That is the recommended and the one that has been adapted even in the European standards for sampling on stacks. Also for gases, you must get the right equipment to sample the gases so that you can then model and say which industries should not be located where. I put in this as a measurement that I did on our steel mill in one of the stacks. And the thing to notice is that it is not, you don't actually use your measured value. Your measured value has to be corrected for it to be checked against standards. You have to make sure that you correct to STP, otherwise this figure has no meaning. STP, standard temperature and pressure. And then you have to correct for the water in the stack. And then you have to reference against oxygen. Oxygen is a very important parameter because the more oxygen you have in your stack, the less combustion you have, and the more emissions you are doing, and the worse it is for the environment. These are NEMA standards, our National Environment Management Authority.